Grace to you and peace from God, who it brings light and life and promise to a struggling world.
So on this third Sunday of Advent, we hear words of hope from both Isaiah and from John. The communities of both prophets have experienced what Isaiah will call devastation. The people of Israel have been defeated by the Babylonians, and many exiled to Babylonia. And Judah was sacked, and the people lost hope. The Judah they once knew, self-rule, religious freedom, and so much more, had been lost.
But Cyrus of Persia defeats the Babylonians and allows the people of Israel to return home to Judah. But what they found there must have been devastating. It might have been like being driven out of your home with the announcement of a hurricane and then coming back, holding on to that flicker of a hope that your house had been spared. Only hope against hope, that it might have been spared, but yet you come home and to your dismay, everything is lost. And rebuilding seems impossible.
Yeah, I mean, I think of lots of different ways in which, and we've talked about this the past 2 weeks, but in which we've been exiled from certain routines that have been familiar or changes that the church is and other communities of faith are enduring, not being able to gather together. There's all sorts of exiles, exiles from one another that we have, and also really hard exiles. I just read the news about the refugees in Ethiopia and still in Sudan who are truly exiled from their homelands.
Yeah, and those exiles, those devastations keep happening time and time again. And all of us, we keep looking for hope. We keep pinning our hope on the next thing that we think will help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Isaiah brings a word of hope to his people at that time, saying that God's Spirit is still present. God has good news. Liberty to the captives, release to the prisoners, a day of jubilee where all debts will be forgiven, a putting away of mourning for what is lost, and a planting of rightness with God.
Yeah, and all of that is a promise. That's what's so great about this text in Isaiah is having been through all that has happened, Isaiah says, look, God has spoken through me, and these are the words that I bring. This is the promise that God brings. The very promise that God made the people of Israel while they were under Pharaoh. And God led them out of that place to the promised land. And it's a promise that God keeps. Though it must have been really hard for the people of Israel to discern God's presence in the midst of the Babylonian captivity. It must have been difficult to continue to see God as they went through the wilderness. And I think in the same way these days for a lot of our community, it is really hard to see God or light or hope when the numbers for COVID and poverty and job loss, for political unrest and protest just keep piling up. It must have been hard for the people of Israel to discern in the midst of all of these devastations that God is there. And so Isaiah brings, I think, in this wonderful text, he brings a living, breathing announcement that God, despite all of the hardship, abides with God's people. Even in the midst of their anxiety and disappointment and hopelessness. And I think that's really important that Isaiah doesn't bring this message to a people who are already on the upswing. Isaiah brings this message to a people in the midst of their devastation. Even though they have lived through what really symbolically could be thought of as the second wilderness experience, God remains with them. And Isaiah stands as the witness, the martyrion of that promise.
Yeah, and the same is true for the Gospel of John as well. I mean, John also lifts up a witness proclaiming God's presence in the wilderness. John's John's gospel describes the prophet John as a witness to the light coming into the world. And I think you've mentioned before that a martyr, actually, John is a martyr, means a witness to. And so John is a martyr, essentially, to the light, which I think is beautiful. Mm. Once again, the people find themselves in exile. In this case, they are exiled in their home under Roman occupation.
And once again, I think the people, just like the people of Israel of old, are beginning to wonder whether home will ever feel like home again.
Yeah, I mean, in this case, like Isaiah, John's witness, like all witness, is pointing past himself to something greater, which is the source of hope. And for John, Jesus, the Messiah, the gospel goes to great lengths to tell us that John is not the Messiah that we're waiting for, or Elijah, or the prophet, but rather one crying in the wilderness. In the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord.
I think that's really salient for us today, that the place where we are to announce the light is in the midst of the wilderness. It's so different from what I think most of us experience, right? Most of the time, we want to proclaim the light when everything is going really great, when we're kind of on the upswing of things. But for John, the proclamation of the light happens in the midst of the devastation, in the midst of the darkness. And I think Isaiah's text lays out God's vision for transformation of the wilderness experience for God's people, and how that will happen in this land that God had promised from the beginning. And he points to that from the perspective of suffering. He points from God's suffering, or from our suffering, right to God's unfolding promise, that it's happening in history, in the midst of all of the devastation that the people are experiencing.
Yeah, we've talked about this a little before, but how there's growth that happens in dark places. It's nothing that we want, that we can maybe ascribe a meaning or reason to, and I don't think it's appropriate to do so, but we make meaning out of our dark places, and something happens in the dark. Seeds are seeded in the dark, right? Microbes work in the soil in the dark. There's so much building of life that happens in the dark. And I actually have a poem. It's more relevant for Ash Wednesday, but just as Lent is also a time of wilderness, this poem is really applicable, I think, to this Advent season as well. And it's called Ash Wednesday by the poet Jan Richardson. It's found on her website, the Painted Prayer Book. But blessing the dust. All those days you felt like dust, like dirt, as if all you had to do was turn your face toward the wind and be scattered to the four corners, or swept away by the smallest breath as insubstantial. Did you not know what the Holy One can do with the dust? This is the day we freely say we are scorched. This is the hour we are marked by what has made it through the burning. This is the moment we ask for the blessing that lives within the ancient ashes, that makes its home inside the soil of this sacred earth. So let us be marked not for sorrow, and let us be marked not for shame. Let us be marked not for false humility or for thinking we are less than we are, but for claiming what God can do within the dust, within the dirt, within the stuff of which the world is made, and the stars that blaze in our bones, and the galaxies that spiral inside the smudge we bear. And I think that's applicable to Advent as well, this light that we bear in ourselves that comes from a source deeper than us.
Yeah, and brings light in the places where we least expect it, that even though all is dust, life is still there. Although all is dust, the promise remains, and God's people are lifted up in that hope. Mm. In the midst of death and despair and anxiety and hopelessness, those are the very people to whom Isaiah speaks and who John and Jesus will speak as well, that God is come for them and for us. Mm. And those are the words that we need to hear in our wilderness experience. I think that a witness to the light is not only coming, but has always remained near.
Mm. Amen.
Amen.